To accommodate and encourage new home construction, the federal government, cities, real estate boards, community developers between 1914 and 1920 worked together to develop legislation, a legislative agenda, to promote the ownership of single-family dwellings. By 1922, a model zoning act was being circulated, and in November of that year, the city of Euclid, Ohio, adopted a zoning ordinance, which Ambler Realty Company, as we heard earlier, did not like. The Euclid ordinance required Ambler Realty Company, which had a bunch of property it wanted to develop for industrial purposes, to use it for residential purposes. In November of 1926, the Supreme Court upheld the city's zoning ordinance, and the model zoning ordinance being circulated by the United States Department of Chambers, United States Department of Commerce, and other developers took off. In 1927, the Texas legislature met and considered three bills related to the growth of metropolitan areas and the development of residential areas. And all of this is in my paper in a good bit more detail. So the three bills that I'll point out were House Bill number 87, which was basically a clean adoption of the Standard Zoning Enabling Act being sponsored by the Department of Commerce. Senate Bill 275, a bill permitting all cities to provide for the segregation of Negroes and whites, and to define the white, permitting cities to define the white race. And Senate Bill 277, providing for the platting of subdivisions of land within 5 miles of cities over, originally introduced as over 50,000 population, but that was struck and it was amended and it ultimately became 25,000 population. The subdivision powers over the areas of the development of areas adjacent to the city limits was consistent with the footnote in the Standard Zoning Enabling Act. In other words, the Standard Zoning Enabling Act would have permitted regulation of zoning in the areas within 5 miles of the city, but it was switched over to the platting statute, and that, but they've adopted basically the same rule. We heard earlier today also that the Louisville, Kentucky ordinance providing for racial segregation was struck down in 1917. House Senate Bill 275 was an attempt to get around that in part by making some type of having that done on some type of referendum basis. But I'd point out that, several of you will know Monty Akers. Monty Akers is a city attorney. He's actually written a book, Flames After Midnight, which I encourage people, it's written by the UT Press. It was describing an event that occurred, a lynching that occurred in Freestone County in 1922. I'd point out that the representative that introduced Senate Bill 275 on the segregation was the Freestone County House representative. Some general observations about the creation of zoning and the subdivision statute in 1927. One, it was created to promote single-family home ownership. It was intended to try to address technological changes in transportation, utility, public works, and construction methods that were permitting large-scale development of houses. It was supported in large part by chambers of commerce, by developers, as an attempt to try to restrict other development and provide for the orderly development of the areas adjacent to existing cities. It was intended to coordinate the development of streets, water and sewer systems into the new proposed planned communities. No such framework existed prior to the 1920s. It was intended to implement on a regional basis, not really a small city basis, the growth of the urban population. If you look at the city, originally it was intended for cities over 50,000. That would have been five cities. I list those in the paper. It wasn't intended that every city could use those planning powers. It was created, but one of the interesting notes is that there was no need in the zoning ordinance to use the words to provide for the authorization of segregation or to use words like segregate or exclude, because the language in the statute permitting the regulation and restriction of land use was sufficiently all-embracing, which I think, as indicated in the Austin planning document, which is, if I recall seeing it, was in 1928, it was adopted the year after the legislature authorized all this legislation, and it, in fact, provided for some racial segregation without calling it racial segregation.